you for staying with Sharad and I on Consider This. Let's continue our conversation about the COVID-19 situation in Singapore. There was initial success in keeping infection numbers low. However, critics have pointed out that Singapore had failed to prepare for the possibility of an outbreak among foreign workers who were vulnerable to the infection. Joining us on the line now, we have Bilvia Singh, Associate Professor of Political Science at the National University of Singapore. Bilvia, thank you so much for joining us on the show tonight. Now, could you begin by talking us through what happened with Singapore's pandemic management strategy? I mean, was it a fair comment to have said that Singapore had failed to include foreign workers in its public health response?
I think that's really sweeping too much about the whole situation. I don't think one swallow makes a rain, you know. I think the way we managed, there was a calibration of approaches, and there were basically four waves from mid or end January to mid-February, when the Wuhan guys were coming back here, followed by how they came back and created local clusters, followed by then the next wave of outsiders, basically Singaporeans and PRs coming back. And then the fourth wave basically is largely local in concentration, which is community as well as what you have just said about foreign dorms in Singapore. I mean, sometimes you get the image and impression that foreign workers are slaves here. I mean, come on. If that was the situation, I don't think they would come here, because more than 1.4 million workers here. And the reasons are quite obvious. But the strategies which we took was first bring them back and then detect, isolate, manage as much as we can. And following the last one, try to basically detect where the main problem is coming from. And today, the primary source, basically, are the 43 dorms, of which we have isolated 19. And I think that's the approach. There's no way of saying that the foreign workers are the primary cause. I think the main reason we went through was because of the aggressive testing which we undertook in the last couple of weeks. Right. Initially, the focus, of course, was on Singaporeans. And since then, we are looking at the whole picture as a whole. And then I think that's where we are. I'm sure 10,000 numbers is quite huge by any consideration in the region. But I don't think there's a crisis here. I don't know what is the sense you get, but I live to a couple of dorms near here where I'm living. I don't think the situation is as it often projected that is a failure. I doubt. Just a while ago, the Minister of Home Affairs was at the dorm where I'm staying. So I don't think we should actually sweep it as a failure from a gold standard to a null and void. It's too sweeping.
How does the general public respond to the communication strategy of the government? Is there a consensus around this extension around the circuit breaker? I'm sorry, first the circuit breaker, now the extension of the circuit breaker till the 1st of June. Is there a consensus?
I think very much so, partly because I think the manner the communication strategies was undertaken, and by the way, the man who led it was the Prime Minister himself, five direct communications with the public, and we have an inter-ministerial task force, and from the very top right down to the very bottom, everyone is involved in communication, mainly to share information. Now, when you have a circuit breaker to an enhanced circuit breaker, the reasons are quite obvious, because we are spending in terms of the infection. But actually, the worrisome thing is not the foreign dorms. The worrisome thing is that we do not know among ourselves who are those who are infected. So the reason we need enhanced circuit breaker is basically to flatten the curve and then stop it. And I think most Singaporeans will go with it. Part of the reason, because it's the whole fear of the infection, simple as that.
Can I ask you, Bilvia, how Singapore is communicating perhaps an exit strategy from this enhanced so-called circuit breaker? Has the government articulated how Singapore is benchmarking its success in fighting the virus?
I think there are a couple of things. One, we look at the number of infections, we want to bring them down. We have succeeded in bringing the Singaporean infections down, We want to keep the fatality as low as possible. The next thing is, I think we need to keep the Singaporeans indoor as possible. And here we have got the persuasion strategy, the compensation strategy, and then we have the punitive strategy for those who break, who flout those laws. The whole game is a simple one. We are readying ourselves to bounce back the moment the virus is conquered. And I think this bouncing back will be in phases. And I think all of us are preparing. I'm from the university. We are getting ready to bounce back. My wife runs the education institution. We are getting to bounce back. So I don't think there is this sense of the game is over and they are down. It's just the reverse. The basic ideology which runs Singapore today
Can I just interrupt you and get you to clarify what you mean by bounce back? Is that, you know, going back to how it was before, going back to normal business as usual?
There can never be business as usual after what has happened. This is one of the worst crises we have been through. And at the end of the day, what happened must never be repeated again. If we need to actually reconfigure the dorms, so be it. If we need to do so many other things, so be it. I think life will not be the same again. It will be post-COVID. And I see the public, I call this a COVID generation. I think the impact on them is amazing. The next thing is that we live and die because of the foreign workers. We need them. And the fact that we are paying everything for them, salaries, medical, housing, food, and even their communication back home, is a clear indication of where we are going to go after this. The foreign worker is going to be a central player as far as Singapore is concerned after this.
Okay, Bilvia, the last question for you. We have about a minute left. The economic concerns that are global now about the impact of COVID, what exactly has been planned for Singapore to, as it were, bounce back on the economic front?
Fortunately, we are quite strong economically in terms of our reserves and so on and so forth. Number two, unfortunately, we are a trading nation. We can only bounce back as strongly as the world will bounce back. But having said that, I think we are not about to collapse. So while being a trading nation, we are preparing for what we can do. At the end of the day, I think we need to give the confidence to the people that we are not going down. And I think that's where we are today. In terms of the nitty-gritty, I think we have to depend on the regional economy and the global economy. And let's see where we go.
Bilvia, thank you so much for speaking with us tonight. Appreciate your time and your insights from down there in Singapore. Stay safe. And that's all the time we have for you here on the show tonight for Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris with Misha Radkutan signing off for this evening. Thank you so much for watching, folks, and good night.